great, great ancestry to the King James Bible. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 19 tonight. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Psalm 19. Wonderful Psalm. It teaches us that we do not have a far off. We do not have a God that is unknowable. We have a God who is knowable. You can know Him. The God who created us is the God who desires to have a relationship with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He created our first parents, Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the cool of the day in the garden. God wants to walk with you. He wants you to know Him. To know Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to love Him. To love Him is to obey Him, and to obey Him teaches us how to know God. Three ways you can know God. And first of all, let's look in verse number one. The Bible said, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's His Word in the heavens. We realize that creation itself, the heavens, are a silent sermon. They are a wordless book. We know that notice, if you would, says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, the expanse of space showeth it. It puts His handiwork on display. The creation around us is the handiwork of God. We're not a cosmic accident. No, we're the result of the creative genius of God. That's what it is. Day into day uttereth speech, and night into night uttereth knowledge. We realize that the witness of the heavens is a continual witness, day and night, every moment of every day. Every time we feel the warmth of the sun, the wetness of a raindrop, every time we walk by the light of the sun, the moon, the stars, they're saying to us, there is a God. That's what they're saying. It's universal. Look at verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In the deepest, darkest recesses of the planet, God is making Himself known. He is. Their line, that word line is an old English word for instruction, has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He's going forth this from the end of the heaven and his circuit to the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Listen, aren't you glad that not only is it a continual witness, that not only is it His Word in the heavens is a universal witness, but it's also a powerful witness, witness to us of the glory of God and the greatness of God, as well as the goodness of God. He makes His sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. His rain upon those who know Him and those who do not know Him. God doesn't pick and choose who His goodness goes to. I thought about the goodness of God in so many ways on our planet. God's good, isn't He? He's good to the saved and the unsaved alike. It's the goodness of God. I thought I was saved because I was terrified of going to a place called hell. I did. I thought that was the motivating factor that brought me to Christ. But it wasn't. The Bible said it was the goodness of God. The fact that He would save me, that He would have a relationship with me. That's what led us to Him, was His goodness in our lives, that God would shower upon us His grace. That's His Word in the heavens. Now David is going to transition in verse number 7. We go from His Word in the heavens to His Word in our hands. That's the Bible. Listen, I just want to see your Bible tonight. Let's just hold it up. Somebody might hold up a phone because your Bible's on the phone or an iPad. Listen, there you go. Hey, yeah. And so we have the Bible tonight, don't we? The Word of God. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad I can take it. I used to stick a Bible in my pocket. Now I just have my phone. I got it everywhere I go. I can listen to it, whatever. Aren't you glad that we live in a day when the Word of God is so accessible to us? There's no excuse not to read the Bible. You know, you're waiting at the doctor or the dentist's office, and instead of maybe picking up the latest magazine, why don't you open up your phone and read the Bible? Amazing how much Bible reading can get done in some times, some lulls in life, some pauses in life. But notice he says in verse number 7, the law of the Lord. Now, here David, that's all he had was the first five books of the Bible. He didn't have anything else. But we realize that this phrase, law of the Lord, encompasses all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You realize tonight that we don't, we, many times we get bogged down in Genesis and the begats, and we get into Leviticus, and it doesn't make any sense as we read about this dietary law and that dietary law and this sacrifice and that sacrifice, and then we get into Numbers, and you go through all the different numbers there in that book, and we sometimes we think that's dull reading. David said, no, it's as precious as gold. Isn't that something? We have all the Bible. We don't just have some of it, we have all of it. We do. Two ways God has made Himself known to man. The first one is what we call general revelation. That's His Word in the heavens. His Word in the heavens. God revealing Himself through His world, through the creation around us. And then the second way is what David talks about in verse number 7. It's special revelation, where God has revealed Himself through His written Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. That is God's Word in our hand. We know about God in creation, but we can know God personally and intimately through His Word, the Scriptures. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I have the Bible tonight. I'm so glad I'm not part of that 380 million that doesn't have one. Actually, I believe their numbers are off, to be honest with you. Talking to people in the world of linguistics, really, only about half the Bible, half the world has a Bible in their own native language. There's still many, many people groups in our world that does not. If you just talk about nations, we would probably say yes, that of the 256 recognized nations, the vast majority of them have some form of the Bible, some printed page. But you have to realize that there are nations within nations, that if you're going to reach Kenya, Africa, you're going to have to reach 54 different people groups. If you're going to go to India, it's in the hundreds, if not thousands. Different nations, ethnic groups, tribal peoples. And can I tell you, God loves them just as much as He loves you. They need the Bible as much as we need the Bible tonight. Would God lay on the heart of some young man, some young lady, some young person in our church to one day be another William Tyndale? I don't believe you necessarily have to determine you're going to burn at the stake, but you can give the Bible to somebody in their language. You could. God's looking for somebody to do that. I love my Bible tonight. It's precious. I'm thankful for the ministry of the Gideons. I don't necessarily endorse everything that they hand out today, but I'm thankful for what they've accomplished through the years. I am. You know, the Gideons was a group of Christian businessmen in America. Maybe they're worldwide, I don't know, but I just know of them here in America. And they had a desire to put the Bible in the hand of every school student. Was that the fifth grade, Brother Joy? I know one time you was the fifth grade. I remember, how many of you remember the red Bible you received in the fifth grade? I don't know if they're able to do that anymore. Many of you still have yours. I remember getting one in the fifth grade. And then, not only that, but all of our military, they would make sure there was a military New Testament. And how many of you, when you were in the military, our armed forces, you received a Gideon Bible? Yeah. There was one put in your hand. Aren't you glad there was somebody cared enough to get the Bible in their hand? Now, they don't always give the King James. That's why we don't support them. If somebody says, why don't we support some Gideons today? It's because they don't always know that they're going to hand out a Bible that I would agree with, that I know to be the Word of God. I listen, the other versions may contain the Word of God, but I know this book I hold in my hand is the Word of God. I know that. I know that. When you open the flyleaf of a Gideon's Bible, one of the larger ones, you'll find a little poem. It goes like this. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here too, heaven is open, the gates of hell disclosed. Christ, its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Isn't that good? It is given you in life, will be open at the judgment and be remembered forever. Preacher, what book will be at the judgment? Both the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne. I believe it'll be the Bible, don't you? I believe that's one of the books that'll be open. It's the Bible. How we've lived as Christians in relation to what God has revealed to us in His Word. His will is not out there something I'm grasping at. No, it's been given to me in His hand. I have the will of God and the Word of God. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Isn't that a wonderful poem? David gives us several characteristics of the Word of God. Matter of fact, there's six of them. And he begins to talk about it. Let's look at verse 7. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." Oh, we live in a dirty world, don't we? I'm glad the Bible's clean, aren't you? "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." I don't know everything out there that's true, but I know when I open my Bible that it's true. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Notice, first of all, the Scriptures are perfect. The Bible said the law of the Lord is perfect. That word means whole, complete, sufficient, lacking nothing. You realize that you have all the Word of God that God wants us to have. None of it's lost. They're not going to discover some papyri or some document, something somewhere that's going to add to this book. No, God's preserved His Word, and we have every from Genesis to Revelation, from the end to the beginning to the final, amen, we have everything God wants us to have. Nothing's lacking. Aren't you glad we have a perfect Bible tonight? David believed in the inerrancy of Scriptures and that the words of God are without error. You need to believe. Listen, you and I need to believe that the Bible's without error tonight. He believed in the inspiration of the Scriptures. Let me give you a couple verses. You can write them down. We're just going to go as far as we can, and we'll slice off the message like loaf bread tonight. Will that be okay? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His Word was in my tongue." Do you know David doesn't take any credit for any of the 70-some Psalms that he wrote? He didn't do that. He didn't say, "This is my psalm." He didn't say, "This is my word." He said, "No, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was in my tongue." These aren't David's words. They're God's word. God's talking to us. Psalm 68:11, he said, "The Lord gave the word." In Psalm 19, David's going to use six different names for the Holy Scriptures. I marked them in orange in my Bible. He's going to use the word law, testimony, statutes, commandment, fear, judgments. And in every instance, he adds this phrase, "of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord." Can I remind us, the Bible is not a book written by men, but it's authored by God. You know, you have people that trifle with it. You can read articles on the news, and they'll talk about the Bible. And I just found out today that as they were trying to in Texas, that they were working on a school district to take out of the library explicit books that would defile the minds of children. Can you believe that there are those in our nation, in our government, that would allow books to go to the into schools that would defile the minds of 4- and 5-year-olds? And with it, just for spite, they pulled out every Bible. They said that you couldn't verify authorship. Can you believe that mess? Can you believe that? That's how low that our nation has sunk. Can you believe that? But I want to remind you tonight that this book isn't written by men, it's written by God. And that's what they don't want to admit. They don't want to admit that there's a word from God, because if they do, they might have to obey it. It's going to expose them in their wicked lifestyles and mindsets and philosophies. See, the Bible will expose us. Can I remind you that every book, every chapter, every sentence, every word, every letter, every jot, every tittle in the Bible came from the very mouth of God. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Listen, I'm thankful for bread every day that I get it. I like to eat, and you can tell. But God said, man shall not live by... If you really want to live, it's not just what you ate for breakfast, lunch, and supper. I'm Southern, okay? If y'all had dinner tonight, I'm sorry for you. I had supper. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. The very breath of God. It's a sacred book. By the way, you ought to teach your children to reverence the Bible. One man said, we owe to the Scriptures the same honor we owe to God. God has magnified His Word above all His name. I never have on the table beside of my chair. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? Your chair. You know what I'm talking about? There's nothing like my chair. I like my chair. Everybody wants to get in my chair. You ever notice that? I guess I've just got broke in so well. You know, it helps you go to sleep. It's just a good chair. I have reading stuff. My wife will tell you, nothing ever sits on top of the Bible. My granddaddy told me as a little boy that nothing ever said ought to be on top of the Bible. The Bible ought to be the first book, the most important book of all books. It's a precious book. Teach your children to reverence the Bible. We ought to reverence the Bible. We do that by example. One of the worst things I ever see, somebody take the Bible and throw it. They used to, you had a dashboard and then they don't have these anymore most of the time. They had a place in the back of the car. You'd see people riding around town and there'd be a Bible thrown in the back of the car on top of that little thing beside the back glass. You ever notice that? Can I just remind us tonight, God gave the Word and He never makes a mistake. Nothing's in the Bible by accident. Notice verse 7, looks like it might be it tonight. Just verse 7, converting the soul. Converting the soul. That word converting means to turn back. It means to return. It means to restore. It's the idea of restoring man back to the place from which sin has taken him. You know, we're not in trouble tonight because of anything God did. We're in trouble tonight because of what we did. It's sin. That's man's problem. Why is there the problems that there is in the world, preacher? It's called sin. Sin's the problem. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And God has made it possible to take that which is lost, that which is fallen, that which is sinful, and bring it back into a right relationship with Him, converting the soul. Listen, when you were saved, there was conversion took place. You were restored to God. Creation can condemn a man, but Bible revelation can save him. 1 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I don't know which night I'm going to preach it, but I'm going to preach a message out of Proverbs called Ready, Set, Go. I'm talking about wisdom for the way. We're going to be ready, set, go. And there's a verse, there's a principle in Proverbs that prepares us for life. That starting point of wisdom, so to speak. And I'm going to impress upon us that how important it is for our children to know the Bible, to know the truth of God. Theodore Roosevelt, and I'm getting ahead of myself, because I think it's somewhere else in my message. Now, Theodore Roosevelt said that a thorough knowledge of the Bible is more to be valued than a college education. We've got that twisted today. We think the college education is more valuable because that's how we're going to make money. That's how we're going to make a living. That's how we're going to live life. That's how our children can have it better than we can. I don't know that just a college education helps them to have it better than we did. Listen, that's all relative. That's relative better than we did. If it's a life without God, it's not better. It's not better. Can I tell you, we're committed here at Calvary Christian School to ensure that our young people leave with a thorough knowledge of the Bible. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The Word of God, which liveth. Do you know I'm going to live as long as the Bible lives? Not I was saved, not I experienced a new birth, the night that I was born again. It was by the Word of God, and it's a living book. It's going to abide forever. And can I tell you, therefore, the life that I was given by believing its truth is forever. Amen. The skies, you can see the glory of God, but in the Scriptures, you experience the grace of God. You say, preacher, if we're only going to do one verse a night, we will never get done with Psalms. Can I tell you that it's just so rich. It's just hard to skip over anything. Let me give you this and I'll be done tonight right on time. The Scriptures are plain. Look at verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That word testimony is like the witness in the court of law. Do you know the Bible is God's witness about Himself? About the sinfulness of man, the need of salvation, the way of successful living? That word sure means certain, unmovable. We live in such uncertainty today. But I'm glad in these days of uncertainty that there's something upon which we can build our lives. It's called the rock of His Word. These sayings of mine. Do you realize we can build our lives, our families, our future on that which is certain, it's sure, making wise the simple. Aren't you glad you don't have to have a PhD to understand the Bible? See, that was what that situation, because somebody's saying, well, what in the world was the problem there with Tyndale? Well, you have to understand that during that day, the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church held sway over the masses. Especially at that point, the Roman Catholic Church. Everything was in Latin. They were the elite, and the elite, only the elite could understand the Bible, because see, if the common man really had a Bible, they would know the lies they were telling them. It would expose them. They were afraid of the Bible. They didn't want you to have the Bible. That's exactly what was going on. They were saying that you have to come to us to know the Bible. Do you know that crowd's still around today? They are. Matter of fact, there's people that they're going to say, well, if you don't know Greek and Hebrew, and I'm not against studying Greek and Hebrew, by the way. I've studied not Hebrew, but I've studied Greek, and I don't have a problem with that, but can I tell you, you don't have to have to be a scholar. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew to understand the Bible. All you need to do is just open the Bible and have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and the author can tell you what the Bible says. It's so profound, the wisest can never fathom its depths. John 3:16. Do you know almost that entire verse is monosyllables? That means one syllable words. For God so loved the world that He gave. You say, preacher, why did God make it that simple? Because He wanted to put it down there where I could get to it. He wanted to get it down there where little boys and girls could get to it. And if they can get to it, anybody can. Aren't you glad God didn't make the Bible hard? Now, I'm not saying there's part that I understand everything in the Bible. If I said I understood everything in the Bible, I wouldn't be telling you the truth tonight. There's things in the Bible I don't understand. But you know, why do we focus on what we don't understand when we ought to be focusing on what we do understand? Right? So profound. Why is it? Do you realize that entire books have been written on one verse and they've never fathomed its depths? I wonder all the sermons have ever been preached on John 3:16 and never exhausted it. Yet it's so simple, so plain, so clear that a child can understand it and receive it. It's plain. Aren't you glad for the plain? I mean, how do you not understand the law of the Lord is perfect? How do you not understand that? What does that mean? It means God's Word's perfect. That's what it means. Well, it's simple. It makes wise the simple. Those that need to learn. Remember, we learned in Proverbs that God wants to take that simple, that person that they've not lived very long. They don't have a lot of knowledge. They're simple. And to keep them from going down the pathway of the fool and the scorner, to make them wise, God's given us a book. How important that is. Aren't you glad your Bible's perfect tonight? And aren't you glad it's plain? Let me ask you a question. How much do you read it? How precious is it in your life? Do you make time for the Bible? Do you love its pages? But better than that, God said it's not the person who hears it or reads it, it's the person who does it that really gets the blessing. Let me just ask you this. Do you live the Bible? How important that is. How important that is. Not just to hear it, but to do it. Let's just not be hearers of the Word. Let's be doers. Amen. Let's love the Bible tonight. We'll finish up next Wednesday night. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I thank You that Your Word is pure and powerful, plain, precious, profitable. God, what a wonderful book we have. Lord, help us to love Your Word tonight. Help us to esteem it as Job did, more than our necessary food. Lord, if we don't eat, at least we have the Bible, then we can read the Bible. Nourish our soul. I'm convinced, Lord, the reason why Christianity is so anemic and weak in our day is we're biblically illiterate, Lord. We just don't know the Scriptures. We don't make time for them. Help us, Lord, as a church to be wise. And Lord, to make time for Your Word in our own hearts and lives and to love it. William Tyndale was willing to give his life for it. Lord, You're not asking us to give our lives for the Bible. You just want us to give our lives to You through the Bible, to serve You and do Your will. Help us to be committed to that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we stand